RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers reacting after receiving a closed-door briefing on the surge of drone sightings across the U.S. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Congressman Jimmy Gomez said off the top of his head, no, we can't think of anything he heard in this classified setting that isn't in some way already out there in the public sphere. And we know that federal officials have said that these drone sightings can be chalked up to either civilian planes or helicopters or law enforcement or military aircraft or law enforcement drones or civilian drones, or in some cases, FBI and DHS say that people are mistaking stars and saying that they're drones.
Manhattan's district attorney says Luigi Mangione was indicted on murder charges in the shooting of United Healthcare CEO, along with a count of terrorism. He could waive extradition this week. In Madison, Wisconsin, police looking at a combination of factors, they say, for a possible motive in yesterday's mass shooting at the private Christian school carried out by a female student. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The number of owner-occupied housing units increased by 8.4% from 76.4 million in 2014 to 2018 to 82.9 million in 2019 to 2023, according to newly released U.S. Census Bureau data. The 2019 to 2023 American Community Survey five-year estimates show that more people owned homes than rented in 3,070 of the nation's 3,144 counties and county equivalents between 2019 and 2023. Additionally, home values increased 21.7% between the 2014-2018 ACS five-year estimates and the 2019-2023 ACS five-year estimates, going from a median of $249,400 to $303,400. The rise in both home ownership and home values also came with an increase in the number of owner-occupied households without a mortgage, increasing between the 2 5-year periods by 3.9 million units from 36.9% of owned homes in the 2014-2018 ACS estimates to 38.8% in the 2019-2023 ACS estimates. The amount of income that goes toward housing cost has differed between renters and owners, and renters traditionally paying more of their income toward housing. Farmers from across the state met in Wisconsin Dells this weekend and had some important topics to tackle. One big worry is the increasing number of wolves attacking calves. Darren Von Ruden is a third-generation farmer in Westby and serves as president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He wants to find a balance between farmers losing their livelihoods and advocates of wolf conservation. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers rest up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers players getting an extra day off. Their next game is on Monday Night Football from Lambeau Field against the struggling New Orleans Saints. The Wisconsin Badgers announced that they're welcoming a new quarterback, Danny O'Neill, who started as a true freshman this year for San Diego State. College hoops. After losing three straight last week, the Wisconsin Badgers have dropped out of the AP Top 25. They had been ranked as high as 11th in the nation. They beat Butler over the weekend. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we were getting better during that stretch, and I think obviously when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup. Odds makers have Oklahoma City as 5-point favorites. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, what the tournament means for the team.
You don't get to get this experience during a regular season. This will help us. This will help Oklahoma and Atlanta, Houston, everybody that was here. It's going to help us later.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries or brief snow showers this evening, cloudy tonight, low mid-20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the upper 20s. Then snow showers late tomorrow night and a Thursday with accumulations. Breezy as well, high upper 20s. Right now it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nationally syndicated Tribune Media columnist and comedian Greg Schwemm and marketing director of the Marinette Community Rec Center, Sean Katzbach, joins the show to talk about the STEAM concert.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Not really. It's Dr. Tim Slecker, yes, from Busted Pencils, sitting in for Dom. You know, Dom's taking a little break.
I suppose he deserves it.
He deserves it, you know. But Jess, Civic Media, got some stuff going on that you want to tell the listeners about?
Not anymore.
Oh, that's right. The hour's over.
The hour's over. You'll have to tune back in tomorrow at 4 p.m. to catch the next code word from the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around, though, because I think there's one more in the day.
Okay, so
unless I'm forgetting.
Yeah, we hope not. Second hour, Dom Salvia Show, beginning though, and here we are the day after again, the day after a school shooting. And, you know, we had guest Abby Clements from Teachers Unified to End Gun Violence, also a survivor of the Sandy Hook shooting. She was a second grade teacher at that time, helping us talk about this moment. And here we are again. And I am so thankful, though, too, to have my best friend, colleague, Teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified, Busted Pencils listeners. Yes, it's that Teacher Joanna, always on with us on the show. Teacher Joanna, how are you?
I'm great. And it's really exciting to be on the Dom Salvia Show today.
Yeah, right. You know, it's not. Welcome back to Busted Pencil. It's the Dom Salvia Show.
I'm really proud of you, Tim. Hello? We haven't had any of that.
I haven't done any. Yeah, I haven't done any of the. But it is. So, Teacher
larger audience. Hello.
Hello. Teacher Joanna, though. So, you know, you're here. You did today, the day after, your. What do you think? I mean, your thoughts yesterday when you heard and
well, every time it is extreme, it's shocking. So yes, it does still shock me. It is shocking and it's sad and it's maddening. And you know, my first reaction actually yesterday, I mean, there's the emotions, right? The reaction, but then it was to reach out to the brand new teachers that I know and check on them. And so in particular, my son's girlfriend is a brand new teacher in the Madison area.
Okay.
It's her first year. And so I was sure to reach out to her because, just it's scary and it's, I don't know, but I thought of the young people I know. And so it's my son's girlfriend, his roommate, some of the teachers that I mentor here. So, That just happened to be my first thing, was to go check on people. Definitely.
With that, though, too, right? I mean, thinking about that, yeah, the first-year teacher, but, you know, you're not a first-year teacher, and you said, mm-mm, though, you're still shocked.
I am, because...
I hate to say that's a good thing, but I'm glad you're still shocked.
Yeah, I am. I mean, because it's a major thing every time it happens. So I don't think I'll ever get, like, hardened to it. And quite honestly, I just think of the massive amounts of pain surrounding it, you know, before, during, after. So, yeah, no, I'm not. I am still, yes, I'm shocked. So sorry, I don't have, like that's all I can say.
Right. Well, and you're still shocked, but I mean, reaching out to those first year teachers, particularly, yeah, like you just said, it's, you know, because, yeah, it is a reality. It's a sad reality. And so what is their feeling there? You know, one of the things we were talking about in the first hour, though, was just the statistics on guns in the home and not being, mm-hmm, locked up, and the fact that they, you know, end up in some way, shape or form, usually, 86% was the statistic from Abby of the school shootings. Those guns came from the home of a family member with that. And so we were talking about, you know, should we be locking the guns up? Should we be required to lock them up? And I had started moving in the direction of going, you know, I could hear somebody saying, but I need my gun for protection. And if it's locked up, I can't get to it. We had a caller kind of point out that, talking about, you know, a safe, you could put your fingerprint and boom, it's right next to you. So there's your protection. But Matt from Middleton's on the phone. Matt, you got a comment on this point of why might people feel the need to have a gun? Matt, welcome to the Don Salvia Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you do. Yeah, I grew up in a high crime city, Miami, Florida, in the 80s, and heard gunshots once in a while in class, out coming from outside and stuff. And I grew up still not feeling a need to arm myself. But I find it strange, but I think there's a political side to this, because my parents live out in the country here in Wisconsin, and they'll hear from rural people that they do as much as they can to not go near the city. They see the city as dangerous and scary. Hmm. And it's right in line with the idea that Democrats are evil because they kill babies. Mm. It's like a political side of that, where they want people to be afraid of each other in America. Mm. And I think that might feed into some of this, because a lot of these people that are hoarding guns are these kind of frightened white men, so to speak, that, that just... It's like a gun obsession, but also a need to just arm themselves for some coming apocalypse or whatever their church is telling them. I don't know where they're getting these things, but in Texas for a while, I lived in Texas 10 years, and I was at a house where there were guns laying around and they had kids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's complicated, but I think some political things there where they want us to fear each other.
No, Matt, I think what you point out there,
Matt,
I mean, the culture of fear that really is running out there, the need, I feel the need to protect myself, and then to really put some deep analysis to that. Do you? And why do you feel that way? Because, you know, if you can potentially rationalize that down to the fact that you're not a frontline soldier in the Ukraine, you might come down with a conclusion that, yeah, I don't really need this, but what is it that led me to have that feeling? And then that kind of adds to it. Joanna, what are you thinking there?
Well, I think about, you know, clearly access is too easy for children. And so if we step away from ourselves as adults, how do we view it for children? Because the issue here that we're talking about is that children have too easy of access, right? Mm-hmm. And also that it has become the number one killer of children, gun violence. And so I wonder, you know, when when the focus might switch to children in a way, and what we can do, regardless of how we feel and the habits we have and our strong opinions about, you know, ownership. I view this as kind of a different issue. There's that issue, and then there's the issue of just, are our children in our communities safe due to gun violence?
Due to gun violence, due to the what's easy access. You know, Matt pointed out living in Texas, being in the home where guns were laying around, was what Matt said, in a home where there were children. You know, and somebody going, well, that's rare. I don't know if that's rare or not.
I don't think it's rare. I mean, we have you know, there's all kinds of accidental shootings.
Right.
But right. Even if I weren't just focused on the really terrible outcome, it's just this idea that, you know, there's evidence here that something's not right and that it's having a harmful effect on our kids. And right. So what are we willing to do about that?
Well, that, yeah, and that's the part. What are we willing to do about that? Because sadly, the conversation seems to very quickly turn into, well, you know, were the escape routes planned? Were the protections set up? Did the bulletproof glass work? It's like, well, okay, wait.
I know. I did read, you know, I read something today where, of course, you know, someone from the school, an administrator, teacher, I can't remember, saying like, oh, the kids did magnificent. And I also remember from Uvalde, the children did so well at being quiet that, right, remember almost 400 police officers showed up there and didn't realize that people were in the rooms. And so this idea that kids are really great at these trainings, again, are, you know, it's just, it's hard to contend with, because it's like, okay, great. So you were happy that the children are really good during an active shooter situation. Like in a school, I really want to be celebrating so much more than that, but it's a sad reality.
It's a sad reality. And we point out though, too, is that, you know, there's an acceptance that when you, when you have those conversations, that there's nothing you can do to stop it, you know, and that's the part where we want to come at this and go, no, I know, schools are, quote, safe enough right now. Now it's time to stop it. And what are those things that we can do? Not think about, theorize, wish philosophically. What are the hard, concrete things we can do? And something very simple is enforcing the, if you have a gun in the house and you have children in the house, that access to that gun has to be in the unavailability, that a child can't get to that gun. And we have to enforce that, because that right there, 86% of the guns used that we heard from Abby talking about this, they came from the house of the family of the origin where that started. So hey, it is Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom Salvia. Teacher Joanna is here with me from Educators Amplified, and Mark from the SAC. We see you. We'll get you right when we get back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, You just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Dom Salvia Show. Dr. Tim Slecker, yeah, Busted Pencils, sitting in. Joined by my really special friend, Teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified. Yeah, still talking about the day after school shooting. It's a horrible conversation. We don't want to continue to keep having it. What can we do to stop having it? Definitely, though, want to get to callers. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what's happening? You got some comments on, you know, we need to not be frightened. Tell me more about that.
We need to give up fear. I mean, because fear, as the Gwen put it in Left Hand of Darkness, she referred to it, you know, fire and fear, good servants for bad masters. And I'm afraid we're letting our fears master itself. I mean, and get the full context of the comment that J.D. Vance made back during the campaign. Well, school shootings are just a fact of life. And he apparently said, well, he didn't like it, you know, that he didn't like it. But we just have to admit that school shootings are a fact of life. And I just think that's one fact of life we need to nip in the bud.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. I mean, that's it. And that's what we're talking about going, you know, no, it's not a fact of life we have to get used to. It's a fact of life that needs to not be a fact anymore. When Vice President-elect Vance just proclaims it's a fact of life and we got to get on with it. No, you know what? Yes, we know we have to do what we can, but Jess, tuberculosis was also a fact of life.
How did you pronounce that?
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis. I'm sorry, you know. Hey, I'm originally from Pittsburgh.
Sure, blame it on Pittsburgh.
but we want to stop it. And that's what we're saying. You know, at this point, we've done all of the protection safety plans. We've done it enough, you know, that's it. So now it's, what are we going to do to stop it? And And we need to insist on that. And, you know, you think about that. These are the conversations that we want to be having, is saying, no, this fact of life then needs to change, because this is a fact of life we're not willing to accept. And therefore, we, the people listening to this show out there who have the ability, talking to our elected officials, not even talking to them, demanding them that they move away from the multiple amounts of money that make them vote in favor of keeping our children and our teachers in a state of constant fear. No, that's unacceptable. You have to listen to me. I voted for you, not the moneyed interests that are trying to keep you in a state that just says we have to accept this as a fact. Oh, had a little rant there. Carrie, though. Oh, we can also announce we have a winner from the Text to Win. Jess, you want to do that?
Yeah, Carrie from Tosa. Congratulations on winning an overnight stay at Chula Vista. Have an amazing time. And if you want to get in on that, tomorrow, 4 p.m., tune in, hear another word, get another chance.
Nice. Appreciate that. So, yeah, Joanna, it's time. It's time to stop it.
Yeah, but you know what? Also hearing you talk, I do think that it's also, though, a big leap in a way of, you know, I just think there's a part of turning inward with all of this too, you know, and each of us asking ourselves what we can do and what we're doing to understand even, I guess, our own biology. You know, I always bring it back to like the biology of the brain. And I think that's why I said earlier too, that I do continue to be shocked, because there is a level of need for all of us that I just don't see get addressed in our largest society and institutions. And that's just that kind of, again, understanding what brings people to a point like this. And then how do we heal and recover and repair from situations, rather than just saying like somebody somewhere better make it stop. So that was just going through my head, you know, the whole, like, it is a little complex, and how I think what is manageable is what is, what's within each of us. And yeah, so again, I know that sounds like my floofy flu.
No, I don't think it's floofy flu at all. I mean, you know, I'm going to take this hard line on, we need to make it stop. The other part, though, too, but you also point out another really important point, though, too, is what are those things that are driving, you know, people to become a quote school shooter? Mm-hmm. You know, that is, are we willing to look deep inward to say, you know, are there things so that we can do to stop somebody from going into the mental state that takes them to that level? And I think the answer is on that one too, is yes.
Yeah.
I think
that right, there's external things and there's internal things, and we've got to do both.
Mm-hmm. Numbers 855-752-4842. Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom on the Dom Salvia Show. You know, special friend, teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified. Time to move on, though, Joanna. It's just too much thinking about this, you know. But, you know, another question, though. When I say the word proficiency, kind of helping that, you know, what does proficiency mean?
No, you've been asking that question for a long time. We've got a long storied relationship with this word.
Yes, we do, because... You know, and if you think you know what proficiency means, jump right in for the show, because I want to hear it from somebody else out there. Proficiency, 855-752-4842. Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. More Wisconsinites are seeking telemedicine abortion care, even though it's banned by state law. The 1849 abortion law caused a temporary statewide ban on abortion services after Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022. Even after the ban was lifted because of a court ruling last year, the demand for abortion medication via telemedicine remained high. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin currently has 4 abortion clinics. That means 96% of Wisconsin counties don't have an abortion provider, and about 70% of residents of reproductive age live in a county without an abortion clinic. Under state law, Wisconsin doctors cannot prescribe abortion medication via telemedicine, but other states have shield laws, meaning their doctors can prescribe abortion pills to people in other states. On average, Wisconsinites are placing 130 orders per month of abortion medication via telemedicine. Jenny Higgins from UW-Madison's Collaborative for Reproductive Equity says shield law clinicians provide critical and affordable care to Wisconsinites, and they're worried about new laws in the new administration, especially those that could be used to target people of color.
We know historically that Black and brown women are the most likely to be criminalized during pregnancy, whether that pregnancy is ending in abortion or birth. And so I think we need to pay great attention to the ways in which some of the pregnant people with the least social power could be putting themselves at risk.
An 1800s law could come into play under the new administration, although about 70% of Americans have never even heard of it. The Comstock Act banned taking obscene material across state lines. Project 2025 directs leaders to use the old law to criminalize abortion. Some state attorneys general have already asked courts to make mailing abortion pills illegal under the act.
President-elect Donald Trump said he would probably not restrict medication abortion pills. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lisa Kudrow is not a fan of AI and let Tom Hanks know about it. Kudrow appeared on the Armchair Expert podcast and referenced Hanks' recent film, Here, in which AI helped depict Hanks and co-star Robin Wright over the course of several decades. Kudrow criticized Hanks and director Robert Zemeckis, saying it could affect the need for actors and that it was an endorsement for AI, adding that it might not ruin everything, but you will basically just be licensing actors' images and not letting them actually act. There is a new teaser trailer for White Lotus Season 3. The third installment of the show will be set in Thailand. Mike White returns as the show's creator and will also direct the season as he did the previous two. Season 3 stars Carrie Coons, Leslie Bibb, Parker Posey, and Walton Goggins. Season 2 won the Emmy for Best Drama Series. Season 3 drops February 16th on HBO. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries or brief snow showers this evening, cloudy tonight, low mid-20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the upper 20s. Then snow showers late tomorrow night into Thursday with accumulations. Breezy as well, high upper 20s. Right now it's 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, stops in for a hump day edition. And we'll see. Maybe Luke Mathers and Trigny Olsen as well. It's a potpourri. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
I don't know. But I do know this is the Dom Salvia Show, and I am Dr. Tim Slegger from Busted Pencils, sitting in while Dom takes a little break. My favorite guest co-host, though, Educators Amplified teacher Joanna is with me. And, you know, enough is enough with the school shooting. Moving on to something, you know, where, yeah, a little bit of a Busted Pencils topic, but at the same time, something we should be out there. There was a piece, Teacher Joanna, you made me aware of in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin parents deserve truth about their children's academic progress. This was submitted by Atressa Pankovitz. We'll get more into, you know, her background, but the reality that she kind of comes in here is that DPI under Jill Underley's leadership took what we call the NAEP scores and the qualitative classifications of how you're performing on the NAEP tests, which are achievement tests, typically fourth, eighth grade math and reading. And there's the proficiency is the word that NAEP uses as the top, the very best that you can get on a NAEP administered test. And at one point, Wisconsin's scores on the forward exam were somehow calibrated to be in line with the NAEP metrics. And so that when you say proficiency on a forward exam, that has the same connection to the proficiency on the NAEP. And Jill Underley and DPI said, wait a minute. We need to expand that because, and there's a really good reason, is that NAEP proficiency is aspirational. Teacher Joanna, you reminded me of this. Dr. Diane Ravitch reminds us this all the time, that when you're talking about NAEP, those qualities that go into that, particularly this word proficiency, proficiency is aspirational. It is not grade level. So when you hear somebody out there saying only one third of Wisconsin students are proficient, there's the assumption
on this specific test, on this specific, right, on this specific measure.
One third. So typically, though, then that could, two thirds of Wisconsin students are not proficient. And so, my God, grab the pearls, clutch them tight, because the world is coming to an end. Two thirds of students in Wisconsin can't read is what that turns into.
Yes. And my understanding of this, too, is that for whatever reason, I guess the Wisconsin proficiency levels were set according to NAEP. And then they recognized that that wasn't an accurate measure because the forward exam is based on Wisconsin state standards,
yes,
which are generated and created by groups of Wisconsin educators. So the forward exam here in Wisconsin is generated by, like I said, by teachers in the field, diverse people throughout the state. And so the forward exam is not based on any kind of NAEP standards. It's based on the Wisconsin state standards. And so that is the reason for the shift, saying we were using this tool that actually didn't measure what we're doing. But oh my gosh, I feel bad even giving that much airtime to that. In terms of you know, that I was recently reading something, again, back to my brain-based stuff, you know, from Dr. Bruce Perry, who's, you know, really known for his work around neurobiology and its impact on children. And he was talking about how, you know, actually observing children does the best job rather than any kind of measure or brain, even brain scans. He's like when we scan, you know, their brains for like what's lighting up and this and that, like nothing is going to give you anything more accurate than to that child, like actual observation. And so I think about that with our general, you know, testing culture, let's say, that let's keep in mind that any test nowadays is pretty much computer driven. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so there's something right there. It's one measure on one day. Mm-hmm. And but we really get, it gets a lot of press, or it's a thing that people like to talk about. And I will say, like I said, as a near 30-year educator, I have like so tuned out on the products. But
well, anyway, that's a whole other mm-hmm. direction we can go. You know, coming back to this though, too, the author of that piece, though, has a real problem with the adjustment that DPI made. And to state this very simply, because the adjustment now shows more kids in Wisconsin are doing better.
Oh, we don't want that, yeah. do we?
Wow, that sounds awful. Make them
Gosh,
worse.
Wait a minute. We've got numbers out there that say our kids are not so bad. And darn it, we want that old metric back in place that classifies kids more as failing, because nothing is going to stop a kid and a teacher from failing more than pointing it out, labeling them, making them march through the streets with their failed tests around their necks, because that is the way you create better learning situations. I'm sorry, but no. And so, you know, I really come back to, again, this piece from the author, and I want to just scroll down to the very end there to kind of get Tressa Pankovic. She's co-director of Reinventing Schools Project at Progressive Policy Institute, blah, 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 blah. Take a look at that. And actually, this is an organization that advocates for the privatization and charterization of public schools. And how does that happen? That happens when we label schools as failing. And the quickest way to label schools failing is to hold that word proficiency and point out and yell, scream, and let everyone know that 2/3 of your students are not proficient. And therefore, guess what? We in the charter privatization world, we're here to help. We're here to help. And that is this too. And so pointing that out, you know, I wanted to make that just part of that. And, you know, you can see actually my reactions. Go to the Civic Media website. I have a blog post up there right now that really takes some time to help people understand what's happening here. Because Joanna, as you just pointed out, you know, if you really want to know, and remember, I came early on in learning to be a teacher, as you said, you know, back in the 80s, we knew then that the number one way that you could tell how a child was doing was watching them and sitting with them and interacting with them. You want the most accurate gauge of how things are going? Spend time with them.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a friend recently talk about how her daughter had just recently been diagnosed with having dyslexia, but had and she's maybe in fourth or fifth grade now, but it had gone unnoticed all this time because the assessments are online and because the writing she does autocorrects. So because there wasn't enough of assessment of people literally sitting with and watching, you know, this was overlooked and not able. And again, and I don't fault the system and I don't fault the teachers. Like, this is kind of what,
right.
you know, this, the expectation is, or how testing now occurs. So, I mean, right. There's nothing better than, like, again, because it's going to be a number of things, right? There's a number when you get one measure, you get one observation, you're like, oh, I don't know if they're getting this. Then you throw something else, right? And then you're like, no, but they do. They get this part, but not this part. You need multiple measures.
You do. And you made me think of that, though, too, in the reality of how much weight, though, and trust those quote test scores garner when ask any teacher who might go, you know what, I know that's what he or she scored on that test, But that's not what I see in class. And the reality of that professional judgment, observation, skill, expertise in this era, you know, let's talk about it, since early 2000, No Child Left Behind era. No, that doesn't qualify as a legitimate assessment. We don't care what you see. We don't care how you interpret the child. We need objective measures, high stakes tests, and think about that and going like, whoa.
When I do think about it, I think about how many problems it caused. Yeah. When I was doing a really like standardized online program, it caused so many problems. It literally on a specific day would tell a kid they were a 12th grade reading level. Then the next day it'd tell them they were a 3rd grade reading level. I mean, there's just so many variables. Again, and one of them being the actual child, right? And like, I found that it caused problems for the child themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like they then either thought they were like doing way better than they were or way worse than they were. It caused problems with communicating to the family what was really going on, because a lot of times parents do link children's poor performance to just effort. And so when kids were, for whatever reason, just getting a bad score because of all these different variables, likely not actually due to their skill level, but then the parent would be like, why aren't you trying? And yes, it's so much, it's the real deal. First of all, like when you, if you went to your doctor and they were just like, okay, go sit on the computer over there and do some things. And then they looked at just that, not like a blood scan, but they just were like, hey, go sit on the computer and answer those questions. And then they were like completing their whole diagnosis and treatment plan for you based on that. Right. You want to be looked at. You want to be asked questions. You want maybe somebody else to give their opinion. It's the same of what we need to be supporting and advocating in schools. And you are right. Since the early 2000s, when products really came heavily in to make sure everything was Common Core aligned, we really lost a lot of that. And we need to return to it.
Yeah, producer Jess, I see you in animated there as we're talking.
Yeah, well, just thinking about this comparison that teacher Joanna has just made of, imagine going to a doctor's appointment and the survey that you take at the beginning, the paper screening, if that was it, putting in your family history and maybe a couple symptoms that you've been experiencing, and that's it. From there, they're making the whole treatment plan. That does feel equivalent because that's taking a little tiny snapshot. It's not looking at the complete situation. It's not getting a multidimensional view of what's going on. It gives you such a flat read of something that can never be accurate, that can never lead to growth and continued sustainable being.
Thank you, Jess. Yes.
It is, and that's it. You know, we want to make sure that everybody understands that. Because if you're out there and you're really concerned about how are the kids doing in school, and we saw this piece in the Milwaukee Journal, and my goodness, so many kids are failing, or maybe we don't know anymore. Come on, let's stop. Let's stop it. And again, come back to what I pointed out here, too. Who wrote the piece and what interest do they have in writing that piece and creating fear and skepticism of our schools? It is a privatizer that wants to see our public school system fail. Understand that and realize that's what we're dealing with here. There's so much more to go, though, with assessment. Teacher Joanna, though, I want a little bit more, though, about the passions that gets Teacher Joanna going. 855-752-4842. One more time when we get back.
News from the Center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Welcome back. It's the Dom Salvia Show. It's not Dom, it's Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Yeah, sitting in for Dom. Well, he gets a little break. Got my favorite, though, co-host, Teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified, joining me, talking. You know, we were talking everything NAEP proficiency assessment. People are listening going, oh, my God, how boring of a topic was that? Hey, we just want to point out, though, the fact is that these are the types of weaponization things that are used to constantly be talking about how our public schools, how our teachers, how our kids are failing. It's a negative story that continues earnestly, and that this article that came out really wasn't calling attention to something horrible that we needed to be worried about. It was truly a piece in their own best interests, which is the continued failure of public schools and kids benefits the privatization, charterization movement in this country. And so any
type... Well, the narrative of failure.
The narrative of failure. But, you know, Joanna, but this moves, you know, and teachers is thinking about this, and I know the number one, you know, that creates a sense of stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that, you've had, you know, what do we do? And I remember our first time we talked about it. You're like, what do you deal? How do you deal with regulation? I'm like, I hate regulation, because I quickly went into those are the rules that are making you. No, not that regulation. But, you know, so the mental well-being is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What does a teacher do then in this situation when they might hear from somebody saying, oh, you're one of those teachers that caused those low test scores?
Oh, goodness. Wow. I guess, again, we're kind of used to that narrative, and we have to then, you know, settle into ourselves and recognize we experience something very different when you're day to day in the classroom with children. You're experiencing something very different. You are seeing, again, strengths, imagination, creativity, innovation. So one, you've got to just, you know, own your own truth. But if I had to say, that's not to say everything's perfect. I think that, you know, maybe it was during the break, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of really sick of hearing about like what kids need to do or what teachers need to do, because I think our focus right now needs to be broader. And I think when, even when you reflect on all the topics we talked about today, there's like this, there's this larger issue at in our schools and in our society. And to me, it's about public health, you know, and are we well? And are, you know, what are our, what are we doing about youth wellness in terms of addressing chronic stress, you know? And again, they don't, nobody calls it these things. They call it, like I said, like bad kids or kids who can't pay attention, or, you know, students who are addicted to technology and high schoolers who are vaping in the bathrooms. And, but really the root of all of that is, you know, these are all signs and symptoms of like not being imbalanced. And so I view a lot of, you know, I'm passionate about, and what does the teacher do? We always say, when you can't get into, get out of it, get into it. So, you know, it's like, we really then try to study what is happening. And so people on the ground are doing that. You know, teachers are being very, I would say, innovative. You know, they're paying attention to what's in front of them, and they are learning, learning and trying to create the alternative in spaces, which is an education focus that brings into, you know, the whole child, the physical, the emotional, the social, and the intellectual. And I don't think that there's a one proficiency test for all of those things that actually, you know, and I remember years ago, you and I, you used to say, well, in order to even get the, let's say, proficiency score, you need all those other things. I don't even want to make that argument anymore. It's just more like, all of these aspects of child development are important.
You need all these things because you need all these things, not because you need them to get proficiency. You need them because they're human needs.
Good point.
Human.
You guys always make fun of my human. I'm sorry. It's a silent H in my world.
It's because he's from Pittsburgh.
It's from Pittsburgh. You know, you know, time goes so quickly. Teacher Joanna, thank you for hanging out with Jess and I as we, you know, give Dama a little time off and give him a break. Really having you here. Want to remind everybody, though, too. Yeah, you know, Busted Pencils, that's what we do. And tomorrow, right away, Wednesday, class is in session, huh, Jess?
Yes, it will be 6 a.m. That podcast will be available.
What do we have again tomorrow?
Dr. Jill Underly, Superintendent Dr. Jill of Underly, Public Instruction. That's right.
Yeah, she will be on there, you know, on the podcast. And then Friday, face-offs, you know, first face-offs.
Free throws and face-offs.
And yeah, and then Saturday too, you know, the show live across all of Civic Media. Well, not live, but recorded. But 3 o'clock, all across Civic Media Saturday, Busted Pencils for one full hour. Make sure you're there. Everybody else out there, though, listening to the Dom Salvia show, thank you for hanging out with us. Have a great evening. Get out there, do something meaningful. It is the season, as we said. Jess, Teacher Joanna, thanks. Everybody, have a great night. See you next time.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
You might be affected by lead exposure and not even know it. On the next show, we'll talk about how to protect yourself with the campaign for lead-free water and flat.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Prosecutors in Manhattan detailed a grand jury indictment of Luigi Mangione and the murder of UnitedHealthcare's CEO. ABC's Chuck Severson with more.
In explaining the murder one and second degree murder charges, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg said this was a killing meant to invoke terror.
Charging the killing was done as an act of terrorism,
and
the killing was intentional.
Attacking those praising Luigi Mangione as a hero against corporate greed.
There is no heroism in what Mangione did.
New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
The cold and calculated crime.
Mangione could waive extradition at a hearing Thursday. The State Department says a top hostage affairs negotiator has arrived in Jordan. The U.S. continuing to work with intermediaries to find American Austin Tice, kidnapped in Syria 12 years ago. The House Intel Committee received a classified briefing today about the recent drone sightings in the skies over the Northeast and around the country. This is ABC News.
Local